a man is going to do that. But if I may, I shall briefly introduce Ramon, because he's a part of this too. So Ramon is a thoracic surgeon. Chest, thank you. He has a PhD in medical practice. a topic I'm sure I couldn't even pronounce. But the important thing is he is a major supporter of All Things Green. He's been to nearly every festival since 1998. I think that deserves a round of applause. Yeah. We were very sad not to see you last year, Ramon. He couldn't be here because of his professional duties, to which he is utterly devoted. I respect to you for that, really. He organised a conference in Spain in 2004 about Monsignor Quixote. An academic volume came out subsequently on that. So he's a special friend. He's going to introduce another special friend. Ramon, can I ask you to come to the front, please?
Thank you, Martin. And thank you for inviting us to present on this topic, which I will merely introduce because all the merit and the credit goes to Thomas Molnar. I might have triggered the research a few years ago, but all the work credit goes to him. He did the hard work in Hungary. I live in Barcelona, but I work in Terrassa. This is the place where I work and almost live. And if you know, Barcelona is between the coast and the hill, so Terrassa is behind the hill, right? So just you have the geographical location of where I am. Who attended the 2006 festival? Can you raise your hand? Okay, good. So this 12 years later, we are here again on the same topic with more information. But all we could be there because many years back in 1988, I happened to be in Budapest for a medical meeting. And I walked along the streets where most foreigners go, first Marti Square, where the Gerbo Cafe is, and this is Vatsi Street, where there was this library. The facade is changed now. This is the actual facade, and then Thomas will show you the facade of that time. And well, I didn't understand anything, but I went through. When I'm in a foreign country, I like to go into libraries and bookshops, and if I don't understand, at least I smell the books. And there was this rotating stand, you know, that you go like this, and I saw his face. And I said, look, that book is mine. So, and as I mentioned in 2006, I also bought a dictionary with the idea of translating the book, but I didn't go beyond the title. But the title was good enough. It's The Green Connection. A green capsulat, right? And we met the author. But between 1988 and 2006, many things happened. In 2002, Thomas and I had the first serious conversation in a medical meeting. Actually, he made several comments on one of my presentations in a breakfast session, because we had different ideas on how to deal with it, with the same problem. And then Thomas looked my website page that all the members of the European Society of Thoracic Surgeons have. And among the activities, there is a window for activities. I had written Green's life and work. And he emailed me and said, well, I also read Green. I am a fan of Green. So let's see what we can talk about him, right? And several emails later, I told him, by the way, I have this book. Do you know the author? And he said, of course. He's one of the most important journalists here in Hungary. And I suggested, well, why don't you try to find him so that we can meet him and talk about his relation with Green. By looking at the pictures that little book had, the book is just square, it's a very small book, but it had pictures of letters written by Green and by him, and also a letter by Norman Sherry. So there I learned that he was doing this monumental biography. I also learned that Laszlo Robert had met Father Duran in Madrid in one of his trips, filming several religious aspects of the Holy Week in the South, which is very colorful. And I also learned that Green had been in Hungary at least twice, which is a fact that no other biography had ever mentioned, you know. So it was an interesting theme to research in depth to see if we could find some interesting things to say. Here we are in Laszlo Robert's house. His wife Arlette, a French nurse, that then she became a doctor. She worked as a radiologist in Hungary. And this is Professor Lassonchi, who was Green's official interpreter when Green was in Budapest in 1975 and 1987. So here, 1 year later, I think we proposed Mike Hill if he would give us some space here to develop on the topic, to present this novelty. It was a very original subject because nobody had already written or spoken about it. And we interviewed this gentleman who, if you remember, captured the attention of the audience. He spoke half English, half French, because one of his major subjects was French. And the interview was based on the content of that book that was written in Hungarian, so we had no access. Although, when we visited him in his apartment, he gave us an English translation, which was never published, because when he had the English translation, the topic was already outdated, so no publisher wanted to publish that book. What else? So a year later, we were back in Budapest, trying to dig out more from him, which was not easy, right, as Thomas will tell. But Thomas had invited me to their national meeting on pulmonology and thoracic surgery, and Laszlo was kind enough to go there and attend my presentation, which he did not understood much. He didn't understand much, but at least he was present there. And then we went to this luxurious coffee shop, as nowhere else in the world you can find except in Central Europe. You know, and we were maybe 2 hours speaking and trying to get as much information as we could from him. This was our last meeting in 2014 in Budapest again. We are here in a Vietnamese restaurant. He spoke a few words of Vietnamese with the cook there, and because he still remember from his time in Vietnam, as Thomas will develop later on. So I met him 4 times, but Thomas met him many more, and he also talked to him quite often on the phone on different issues that he will also develop here. And I want to call your attention to the table. In 2006, the interview was in the Dean's Hall. And after the interview, you know, we were all there talking. And David Pierce said to him, "La table du père de Green," the table of Green's father. And I'm not sure if Laszlo was aware of that, but you know, David Pierce was trying to tell him that it was a historical table, you know, a relic from the olden times. And when here in 2014, Laszlo said to me, "This is the table of Joseph Attila, who is a famous poet, Hungarian poet, and he has one of his books here, Attila. So let's go back to this picture. You don't see it, I don't see it, but I tell you what it is. Here, it's a photocopy of Spinoza, the Dutch philosopher of the 17th century. And somewhere here, there is a very small book by Miguel de Unamuno, The Agony of Christianity. And so, Attila, Spinoza, Unamuno, what's the connection? He was he worked all his life undercover. You know, he was infiltrated as a journalist in the Vatican during the Vatican Council II. He reported from Rome. He was a member of the Communist Party with a degree with a rank, with a military rank, and he will explain later. So in a way, he had no land. He did not belong to one country. He didn't belong to the other. And in 1978, he was expelled. Invited to leave the organization. And interestingly enough, these three characters had gone through the same experience one way or another. You know, Spinoza was expelled from the Jewish community. He had been born in a Sephardite Jewish atmosphere, family. Her parents escaped from Portugal to Holland. So he had been expelled. Unamuno, who was an outstanding philosopher and philologist, he was not very well understood, but much worse, he was misunderstood many times, because he used the words in their original meaning. For example, the agony of Christianity doesn't mean the end of Christianity, but the fight of Christianity. But we tend to think of agony as the last days of somebody who is dying. He also proclaimed that Spain needed a civil war. And then we had a civil war, and he was blamed for that. But by saying civil war, he meant a civilized war, not a fight, but a civiler war. Anyway, and then Attila, who was a member of the Communist Party, also was expelled from the university, Thomas told me yesterday, from Szeged University, and from the Communist Party. And I had, because of one poem that I forgot the book, but I found it on the internet. Everything is on the internet. I will just read the first paragraph. The title of the poem is With a Pure Heart. Without father, without mother, without God, or homeland either, without crib or coffin cover, without kisses or a lover. Later on, because he was hungry, he didn't have anything to eat, he said, I may kill and I shall rob. Well, this bleak panorama was incompatible with the communist paradise, so he was expelled from this and he committed suicide at the age of 32. So there is a link, and it took me quite long to try to connect the four characters. I think it's a subject that merits some deeper investigation if somebody here wants to do it. So this is all I wanted to tell you. Now, Thomas went through a lot of work to present what he's going to present. He has the highest academic degrees that you can have in Hungary. Medical doctor, PhD, but also he has a doctorate from the Academy of Sciences of Hungary, which is a very prestigious institution. One of the few, if not the only thoracic surgeon having that Doctor of Science degree from the Hungarian Academy. On top of it, and to have an alibi to access certain documents, he registered for a master course in history, which he completed, and he had access to some documents, but unfortunately not to all. Nothing from me. Now, Thomas, please come. and tell us what you have to tell us. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you for the kind introduction. Actually, I've been introduced by the number one world expert on lung cancer, who is a thoracic surgeon. So just to put you into the picture, who talked before me. So I'm going to talk about the Hungarian connection. I'm so sorry. I used to use this control monitor because the lectures in medicine are a little bit different from what we have here. The content is a take-off of two friendships in chapter one and two panks. That's what I'm going to talk about. Then a detour into the jungle of the evidence-based sciences. And I try to conclude some sort of conclusions. And then the chapter six is up to you. Yes, that's a beginning of a wonderful friendship. Same old story as the Casablanca is ended, the film. And the young Spanish thoracic surgeon attended that conference and bought that book in a cafe break. A cafe break is a very good thing, to be honest. Actually, that's the bookshop looked like at those days. And you see, in those days, that was a Lenin. Because we were 1 year before the Iron Curtain came down in 1988. However, nobody knew that, not even the CIA. So yes, that was a Cold War, and the Cold War, Hungary was and is here. But Graham Greene is a very well-read author in Hungary. More than 1 million copy of his books were sold. So the name of Graham Greene is a very well-known name. This is So this is a part of my bookshelf, and the Hungarian translations, quite acceptable quality of translation. But anyway, so there's the way why the book, the Greene Connection, was a quite obvious choice in the Hungarian book market in 1980. Actually, everybody knew what the author is talking about. But the very first Hungarian translation of The Power and the Glory was published in 1941, when we were in war with the United Kingdom and of the States and United States and all of the big powers. So can you imagine that in a country which is in a war, in a declared war against another one, just a book is published from the enemy? So yeah, so you know the two characters here. Just back to who Laszlo Róbert is. Everything is on the Wikipedia. And in those days, we trusted the media much more than we do it nowadays. So he was a real celebrity, a TV and a radio star in the 60s and the 90s of Hungary. An author, a flying reporter, and many more. Yes, he is talking about the terrible features of the capitalism. And here, when the wall came down, you can see here the young Viktor Orban. Obviously, disliking to tell the less this character, a journalist of the past times. So when 2006, Ramon came over to Hungary, we visited the flat of Laszlo Robert. We went to Szentendre, a small village. Actually, we followed the footsteps of Graham Greene, who visited Hungary at least twice, once in 75, and second time in the mid 80s, which was an absolutely different piece of cake. So even a fake interview was made with me, because that these were the streets where the then young Laszlo Robert and Graham Greene walked up and down. Yes, and together Ramon and we watched the film Letter to Graham Greene, and we had this sympathetic professor of English at the University of Hungary in Budapest. The cloth verse is what I would like to emphasize, and others, books relating to the connection between Green and Laszlo Robert. So, 1 year later, we've been here, and the interview or the stage appearance of us just followed that book step by step, because a short week, 5 days actually, was spent in Hungary in 75, and this Green Connection book covers these 5 days. But it's very important to emphasize again that it was published in 1988, talking about events in 1975 and after. The book originates in the Vietnam War, the final phase of the Vietnam War, and that was the main topic in the conversations between Graham Greene and Laszlo Robert, because Laszlo Robert was one of the officers of the International Committee Controlling Armistice in Vietnam. I would like to call your attention, this is the Hungarian shield at that time, and the red star is not of a Heineken. Those were quite tough times. Exchange of POWs. That's where Laszlo Robert was an observer and a reporter, and God knows what else. Yes, it was a battlefield. It was a real battlefield. You know, there were Canadian officers, there were Polish and Hungarian as well. And the quiet American was our officers. Bible also. This is the Hungarian, one of the Hungarian editions of the Quiet American, the Csendes Amerikai. Yes, they talked a lot, and it's in a book of Laszlo, the Saigon Days, and that was the start of their connection. You see the paper, letter paper of the Hotel Majestic. Quote, "Dear Mr. Graham Greene, almost 20 years have passed since you wrote to René and Fong in your forward letter. Your novel was a story and not a piece of history." Yes, and the letter was sent. Actually, continued like, "I myself am not capable of writing novels, and I'm interested in history backwards and forwards, as only contemplated from a day-to-day perspective, yes, perspective of life," end of quote. And in 1974, a reply came, saying, "Dear Mr. Robert, quote, Thank you very much for your amusing and interesting letter. It gave me quite a pang to see the notepaper of the Hotel Majestic. I would much like to meet you and to hear more about your film. And if I possibly can, I will be in Paris on January 12 or 13. End of quote. Just a short recap. In the first years of the 70s, Gaddafi, Libya, slowing down the nuclear arm race, Bangladesh, the Bloody Sunday in Northern Ireland, and the Munich Olympia. So that's the time frame. And then the oil crisis and the peace negotiations were started in Paris. And there were the big players for the junior generation. Richard Nixon on the American side and Leonid Brezhnev on the Soviet Union. And that was the time of the big game. That was the expansion of the Soviet Union and the communist power. They occupied a good part of Africa. They've been present in Middle America. So not a good time for the imperialistic forces, UK included. Anyway, so Budapest was a town in those days as a capital of a communist country, a country placed in a quite unlucky place. If somebody wants to come from the west to the east or from the east to the west, north. So we are just in their way. Yes, that was the town, the street. And we had excellent blues and rock and roll music. But again, Hungary was the happiest, was told to be the happiest barrack in the communist camp, but it was really in the communist camp. The Iron Curtain existed, and at the same time, it was a watchtower next to Wien. Yeah, the castle. And just back to Laszlo Róbert, neither of the 3.5 biographies of Graham Greene mentions Robert Laszlo and the visits to Hungary. Only Father Leopold Durand's Graham Greene, a friend of and a brother, and in the Richard Greene's Life in Letters on the page 348 mentioned the man. So Graham Greene spent 5 days in September 1975 with different programs. On the first day, he went to the Hungarian television headquarters and watched in the pre-review screen room the film letter to Graham Greene. And then he met Laszlo Róbert, of course, and the translator and interpreter of many of his books into Hungarian, of course, and the theater girls and guys. Because in 1973, a stage adaptation of The Quiet American was a great success in the Hungarian theater Thalia in Budapest. So yes, that was an interesting moment. You can see here the photos taken at their meetings. A very few photos when Greene is smiling. And he stayed in the Hotel Margitsziget in Budapest. And they went to a cafe house again, where, according to Laszlo Róbert, Greene observed a funny situation or stage, because he picked up some secret connection between the bride and the photographer. And later on, it turned out, yes, they had a previous affair. this story is written in the Green Connection book, and it's written in Father Leopoldo's own book. So it's a double confirmation. Yes, that's the book. Next day, they went to the Danube, and the evening or night Budapest was visited. Now the story, the view is absolutely the same, with a small difference that there is no red star on our parliament. Quite significant, thank to God. So he went to the hotel again, and it was Robert Laszlo's home, what Green visited also. And Robert Laszlo and the family had a tree, a high tree in the garden, what Green called or Christianized as a seagull. The days went on, so they made a trip, a boat trip on the Danube, led by the head or the chief of the engineer corps, Hungarian engineer corps. That's beautiful. This is the guy, a Russian advisor, and a Vietnamese officer back in the 60s. That's what they saw, and that's what you can see if you come to Hungary, to Budapest. And on the very next day, on the evening, Tamás Ungvári, Tamás Ungvári, he is here, and who is hanging around all the literary celebrities who are in Hungary. In this picture is Roman Gary. And there were two Hungarian writers, Tibor Déri and Örkény, something later. And Ungvári made a fake interview with Graham Greene, and that was when it was published. Then that was the end of their story forever. So the departure of Graham Greene from Budapest comes, and when it came to the saying goodbye, Laszlo Robert writes, Graham Greene's first visit to Hungary was nearly over. I gave him a lift to Ferihegy Airport. Amidst innocent conversation, how he liked Budapest, he surfed to another unexpected topic. Did you know that Kim Philby was my boss in the Secret Service in London, working in the section of the peninsula, including Portugal and Spain? I knew, writes or says Laszlo Robert in his book, I knew about Kim Philby, but I did not understand why does Gigi share this information with me just before his departure. But he carried on in a quite undisturbed tone. You know, just before I came to Budapest, I read an interview made in Moscow with him in the Sunday Times. The reporter asked Kim Philby, what would you expect from life anymore? Philby answered something like this, to drink a bottle of good red wine with my old friend Graham Greene. I tried, says Laszlo Robert, to keep a poker face. I might look like saying, very interesting indeed, and then what? But I did not respond specifically. Our conversation returned to the events of the previous days. We stood in the queue at the check-in board. Gigi had a look at his mistress, asked, if you might ask somebody who could help me arranging this time, this wine thing, you know, it just came into my mind. We had more than 40 minutes till boarding time. I was stoned, what to ask and whom. The Soviet embassy at Budapest looked an obvious choice, or to contact the Soviet department of the Hungarian Foreign Ministry, which was nearly the same. At that time. The airport crew helped me with the telephone number. Oh, very kind of them. So I called them. I happened to know a coworker there, by a coincidence, of course, who graduated from Budapest University. But he was not accessible at the time being. So I told the secretary about Kim Philby and Mr. Green and the red wine. So try to explain her that they want to meet once more in this life. And this is written in the Sunday Times and so on. The secretary knew who Mr. Green was, therefore she told me to wait. How many days is Mr. Green is going to spend here? Asked. 35 more minutes, I answered. Could you give me the number where you call me from? I told her, and they passed the costumes. Played ping pong with the commander of the border police. Oh, what a coincidence again, in Saigon. Therefore, I obtained a special permission to escort Gigi to the transit waiting. Then the intercom announced, Tavarish Robert is requested. He is to receive a telephone call. So, Tavarish Robert, tell Mr. Green, we talked to Moscow. He's going to receive a message. When could he meet his friend, told me the secretary. He will be contacted in some months about when can he meet his friend. So that was the first time when Green hugged me. We had time for a faraway whiskey. So the characters are here, and as a sideline, in the same year, a Spanish priest, Father Leopoldo Duran, approached Graham Greene with some questions with regard to his PhD thesis. But it's only a sideline, and it's so interesting to see that a little bit later, Laszlo Robert approached Father Leopold also. But the whole story carried on in the Monsignor Quixote, cited on this Congress many times. So there was an afterlife of the 1975 meeting, and that was a letter, quote, Dear Laszlo, thank you for your drunken letter from the apartment of Father Duran. I wish I could see your television film on religion, and perhaps if I can come to Hungary sometime, another promise. So I can come to Hungary sometime in the summer, you will show it to me. And it was written in 1978. So in the 80s, they exchanged other letters, and the show went on. So that's the afterlife. Then Duran kept a correspondence with Laszlo Robert, and then the first pang came to me. In 2008, a young Italian historian from the University of Bologna published a very good paper on the special relationship between the Hungarian intelligence and the Vatican. In the meantime, Laszlo Robert wrote several books on the communist and Catholic conversation, dialogue, our common aims and roots and things like this. Lovely, lovely books. In a long list of funny names who were the members of the Hungarian intelligence service, it was Laszlo Robert, codenamed Rezső. Officially, the Hungarian press agency reporter and working for the main Hungarian newspaper in Rome between 61 and 66. So actually, he was an officer, an intelligence officer, undercover, expert on Catholic Church issues, and resident in Rome. Yes, because it was a very, very important period of time in those days, because the Second Vatican Synod modernized the Catholic Church, and the Christians were really very keen to see what's going on and influence it. It was not only Laszlo Robert who was a journalist in uniform doing some job, but others also. It was a real battlefield. So here is seeing a Laszlo Robert admiring cowardice, West of Saigon, a decoration which Graham Greene disliked very much, as Ramon told me. He went to the Holy Seat just by an interest, of course. And in 2010, at the University of Page, I started to write my MA degree, because two professions are more than none. So I thought. My tutor was Professor Jarmati, who at that time who was the head of state security archives from the communist times. That's a gold mine, really. So I tried to approach the question with a diastolic skill of medicine man, the rules what we have to follow in the evidence-based medicine. And I went back to the letter. And I think it was the longest pang in the history, because the original letter was written on 7th of October, and the reply, the answer came 450 days after. So it's a quite long pang. And it gave 12 days to Laszlo Robert to go with the TV crew from Budapest, from the communist Budapest, to Paris. You know, organizing a passport and all sort of things, that was not an easygoing job. So if you had some extra support, yes, you can do that. So that, I think that was the first step of testing the situation. And again, how would you mark the English of the letter? Which with what Laszlo Robert approached Green, that's a quite good English. And those who were there in 2006 know that Laszlo Robert's English was even worse than mine. So that's yes, that's a barely existing English, actually. So just going back, the intelligence profiles in those days were East Germany, the Stasi, they did everything. Bulgaria for the operatives and the killings. The weapons and the Semtex for Czechoslovakia. Poland, that's an unreliable ally, it was. And the Hungary, the coffee house, Czechistan. Anyway, we've got the Catholic Church, because the Russians were unable to approach the Catholic Church because they are Orthodox. Bulgaria, Romania, detto. The Polish Catholic Church impenetrable, thanks to God, as we know, more or less. The Germans are Protestants, the Czechoslovaks are Schweik, so only the Hungarian card was played. That was a peace priest movement, easy to permeate. And there were troubled waters in the theology of those days. So back to square one again. That's a beautiful picture, yes. And the good friends are not so good friends, really. Just look at the body language. Tamás Ungvári, the translator, who in his own memoirs published 5 years ago, a great denunciator, saying that Graham Greene was a friend of Carlos the Jackal, and he was an anti-Semite, and an absolutely superficial writer. So that was, these were the accusations. A good friend. Oh yes, thank you. And the not so innocent operative of the Hungarian Secret Service, Saigon Station, who was dismissed in 1978, and his last rank was major, according to my papers. And you know, watching the film letter to Graham Greene, yes, this sympathetic professor, he was a very good comrade in the Vietnam days. Yes, the Vietnam days, those here and there and everywhere. Laszlo Robert, the reporter, the flying reporter, our man in Saigon, would say, yes, and. As it turned out, both men were enemies of each other, the translator and the man ready to jump. So, but the same stories were mentioned in the memoir of Tamás Ungvári. I'm always playing the same game. So, and in the Green Connection book of László Róbert, even the same story of the coffee house incident. What was going on the other side? Green hanging around London, having meetings with C. It was Professor Carlos Villarflor who provided me with the information. And at that time, I was a great friend of the Led Zeppelin, as I am right now. But that's the 1975 year. And in the summer of 75, in the letters of Yvonne, I can't go to Hungary, writes in July, because my communist won't be there. No friend, no László Róbert, my communist. My communist won't be there till the end of July. And in August, Graham Greene writes, I thought it best to go to Hungary for a few days, as I hate hanging about London without you. So the 75 red wine mystery, just before I came to Budapest, and so on, and so on. I went through all of the Sunday Times from 1970 to 1980, and there is no interview with Kim Philby in the Sunday Times. Even the very first interview was published in 1978 in the Inquirer by Leonard Mosley. So, what's going on here? In a letter, which is in the Georgetown University, in the letters of Catherine Walston, there is a letter written by Graham Greene from Antibé. My dear Kim, quote, Mosley, the reporter, like all journalists, got things a bit wrong. Just before, it's 1978, 3 years after the red wine incident. Just before I went off to Budapest to help a friend, László Róbert, with a Vietnamese film called Letter to Gigi, I had read an interview with you in which you had referred kindly to me and the wish for a shared bottle of wine. So when I reached Budapest, writes Graham Greene, I asked for a telegram to be sent through the Russian embassy suggesting that you shared the bottle of wine in Budapest with me. I would not have dreamed of trying to contact you on the telephone. I have half promised to go back to Budapest this summer, 1978. And I will drop you a line if I'm going to be there on the faint chance of it coinciding with a visit from you. 3 years later, that letter was written. And then my own second pang. This is a picture. András Benkei, a very nasty man indeed, the Hungarian minister of Interior, and the Secret Service and everything, a very dark Muscovite. Our friend Kim Philby and Rufina. In the text of the book, it refers to 1978. But here you can see they are in Budapest in 1975. The very year when Green is here. And from the clothes, it's not a summer and that's not a winter. So, yes, that's in the private life of Kim Philby, the Moscow years. And that's how the book looks like. Yeah, this is a story of loyalty of old parts. You know more about Kip Philby and the story as I do. But what follows now, please take it with a great caution. Yes, that's the Mora Budberg London Saloon, which was attended by Graham Greene quite frequently, and the other guys, even the not so nice guys. And there is a Kip Philby story when he was young with Lizzie Friedman, his first wife. Kip Philby in Vienna in the February uprising. And then one of the writers in the reception which was given to Graham Greene in Budapest by Tamás Ungvári, the young Tibor Déri, who fought in the uprising. The two beautiful books on German. Brigitte, it's up to you to... yes, I'm sure. Because in my reading, there is some clue, some key to this whole story. Anyway, Kip Philby made several trips from Vienna to Prague and Budapest in this unholy triangle in those days. Maybe more than thinking about Lizzie Friedman. That was Budapest in those days. And Wien, Budapest, it's a next station in Istanbul train, for the Istanbul train. And again, the Canal Brigade issue and the third man team is coming back. So more than coincidence, making a film 15 years later with the colleagues and digging a grave of a friendship, maybe. And one more NKVD or KGB agent of the days, Smolka, who is mentioned in the third man in the film. Go to Smolka. And a very characteristic figure here, really. So I'm just wondering whether Graham Greene's 1975 trip to Budapest was adjusted to Kim Philby's trip in the same place. Funny days. And I have two undisclosed sources who told me that Kim Philby really delivered lectures in Hungary for the intelligence service, so he should be there. They said it's autumn, but I was unable to get closer to the dates. Yes, we did many interviews, not interrogations, unfortunately, with us or Robert. And the closest we've got, maybe there is an acceptable probability of their meetings. At the end, he told me, I think, yes, they met, but not by me. Yes, we were on the fantastic trip to Vienna, led by Brigitte. Last year, and the cardigan of a famous person is stitched up by me, and Caroline told me on that occasion that in the mid-70s, my father did not specifically stated that they already met, but somehow the fact was alluded. I'm not sure what he mentioned, it was Prague or Budapest, but there was a very short meeting at that time. Am I correct to citing? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, Prague indeed, or Budapest. I'm just a Hungarian, you know, and we are very, very self-focused peeps. Ramon, what do you think? That's what I'm asking on this. So, Mr. Watson and Sherlock Holmes, we went around and with Brigitte in the embassy of the United Kingdom in Vienna. Yes, fantastic times. So is Laszlo Robert the missing link between two old powers? Only on the surface, in the Wikipedia, no one word about his intelligence work, which are quite obvious and well known in Hungary, but nothing on the Wikipedia knows everything, as we know. So, and there are two retroactive documents, again from the 1978. So I just don't understand how 3 years, it's a lot of time. I don't remember too much what happened 3 years ago. Anyway, so there is a letter to Maurice Oldfield. Dear Maurice, another message from Graham, which might be of interest. A friend of his, Laszlo Robert, who is a Hungarian and makes film, lunched with him in Antibé and had a piece of news about Kim. He said that a young friend of his, a friend of my friend of my friend, that he was going to a sort of school where Kim is teaching. He found Kim very sympathetic, but he is drinking heavily. And the answer, dear Rodney, on the very next day, so a good correspondence. Dear Rodney, many thanks for the letter of 3rd January. I will pass it to the experts. But I think that the name you mention is one we have seen before. So Laszlo Robert was on the radar. He was a potential target, I think. An opinion leader, an influencer of that time, a very, very strong card in the political life of the changing world. His anti-Americanism was well known. His Catholicism was a good door for the Vatican and all of these things. So, ideally, KGB always tried to test Kim Philby. Maybe there was a triple agent theory behind it. I'm not sure. But anyway, on that side, on this side, on the English side, destabilization of Kim Philby's credibility would be a good step, or just a sentimental journey. Or was there a game at all? And the book of Laszlo Robert was a disinformation, and he just played a game with us, with Ramon and me. That's again another possibility. He got lots to drink, and he liked to drink, and it was free, or paid by Ramon mainly. Anyway, so because there were great doubters, at least 3 major Russian intelligence officers had serious doubts. At the age of 70 years, actually the art of spying is a long durée procedure. And we know very well the sleeping cells and agents. And if I take the analogy, the traffic analysis of Gordon Welchman in the Bletchley Park, that's 40 years is nearly nothing in that profession, one of the oldest ones. So it is just a titillating concept from adjusted and finely tuned random elements to a well-organized reunion party? Or was it a self-confession in his old age of Laszlo Robert? He wanted to tell somebody the truth. It's possible also. This jury is still out. There are many questions to answer. What are the exact days of Kim Philby staying in Hungary? The routes they took, and an unlikely evidence to find written report of their meeting either in the MI6 or in the KGB archives. In the medicine, we are working with evidence-based medicine because the highest level of evidence comes from the randomized multicenter trial, And history may be independent, real-time, first-hand observations with low or not at all. And it goes down to the level 4, which is an expert opinion. And in the history, it would be an educated guess, which is obviously biased. Well, the strengths of the validity of the hypothesis on Graham Greene's and Kim Philby's meeting in Budapest in 1975, at the level 1, at the highest probability, Robert Rászló, a major of the Hungarian Intelligence Service, contacted Graham Greene in 1973, and the aim was an exploration. Graham Greene accepted the game, and both revealed some of their cards. Anyhow, Kim Philby was in Hungary at around the time of visit of Graham Greene. At the second level, maybe more than once visited Graham Greene Hungary in the 70s, and he was approached by the KGB Residentura. Lower probability, Graham Greene and Kim Philby had a short meeting in Budapest. At that time, both of them manipulated their masters in a certain degree. There were no consequences and only some follow up. Yes, at the end, we have more questions than we had at the beginning, but it was an interesting journey for me, at least, and for Ramon. And we would like to tell very special thanks to Caroline Greene, Brigitte Timmermann, Prof. Carlos Villar Flor, and Professor Richard Greene, Dr. Martin Sampson, and the Graham Greene Birthplace Trust. And thank you very much for, and please forgive my English. Thank you.
That was amazing. That was a tour de force, I think we can all agree. The humor, the color, the range, the history, you incorporated so much in such a dense way.
You did not see me operating or...
No, it was very slick, actually.
Or Ramon, we are doing the same in the operation theater.
Oh, I see. Perfect. It should work like poetry. Neil, who isn't here, obviously, at this festival, but would normally come and sends his well wishes, was once asked how to describe Graham Greene by some sixth formers here. And Neil thought for a moment and said, fearless. And I think you approach that with total fearlessness, that to work through such delicate and sensitive issues. I mean, it strikes me that there is a serious market for your work in different parts of the world, because of course, although the Soviet Union has gone, the Soviet mindset is still present in different places, and there is so much cross-fertilization between different communities and cultures. And you know, your work, I think, speaks powerfully to so many people and has such relevance now. And I hope you do continue to develop this. I would love to read Laszlo Robert's book. And I want to read your book. So I hope you work on that. We do have a little time for questions, but we have the farewell supper up. And if anyone needs to go, please do feel welcome to leave now. But it seems too good an opportunity to miss not to ask questions. So, Richard.
Tomas, thank you. It's such an exciting line of inquiry. I just wanted to ask about a little tiny point, because the Tibor Derry's face popped up in your photographs and you spoke of him.
Whose name?
T-I-B-O-D-E-R-Y, Tibor Derry.
Tibor Derry, yes.
And I had only heard of him once before, that in 1956, Graham wrote a letter to the Minister of the Interior asking for the release of Tibor Derry, who had been arrested when the Soviets suppressed the uprising. And I was wondering if you could tell us something about this man. Who is he? What's the story on him?
Oh, he was an avid communist, really, from the time of the Vienna uprising, and during the Stalinist period of time, because it was not only Stalinism in the Soviet Union, but we had a quite tough edition of the same not so sunny story. And Tibor Deri was always an intellectual, but a very aggressive communist, to be honest, a man of the pen, and he served the cause. But by the you know, Stalin died, but other communists carried on the business, and some of these intellectuals smelt the changing times, you know. That's it's something that, so, you know, they staged an opposition to the ruling Communist Party, but you know, it's something within and outside. So it was a power game, and the result was a 1956 revolution in Hungary. And after the revolution, some of the intellectual powers who changed sides just in time or too early, they were they've got very harsh sentences, and that one of them was Tibor Deri, and that was you know, the word intellectuals, but again, it was a sort of internationally organized, orchestrated project to free these people. So it's quite strange that you see the same faces in different situations, and nearly always in the best light. So that's the story. He's a second-rate reader in my reading. Others are on a high giving him a high literature value, but I seriously doubt it. I don't think so. But you know, that's my own taste.
Fantastic. Yes, it's
okay, two things. You mentioned Mora Budberg.
Yep.
Okay. Mora Budberg was very close to Korda. Yes. I didn't know that Green had met her, but Mora Budberg added to the dialogues of the third man. So she was one of the authors or writers of parts of the dialogue, some of the German dialogues. And she was also very close to Elizabeth Montagu, who I mentioned yesterday. So that's the one thing, you know, this connection, which now rings another bell with me. And the other thing was that actually your theory, well, your evidence supports the theory of Jean-Luc in the Prague coup, that the third man, whether Harry Lime was the third man, and also that the third man might have been or was an effort of Green to let Kim Philby know that he knew, but that he wanted to destroy the evidence. And unfortunately, we ran out of time yesterday, but that was actually the crucial thing. That priest in Prague had all the evidence about Kim Philby and his connection to Graham Greene, and Greene destroyed it. Okay, so this now supports what we talked about yesterday, and I strongly suggest that everybody buy the Prague coup, and it really is more than just a comic. It's world history. Okay, so it's presented in a very popular form, okay, but there is much more to it than what you might think. So it is really a graphic novel, and it's political history.
I completely agree, thank you. And when I read it, the Prague coup, I said, "Oh, one of my ideas were stolen." Because so it's just time to start to write a new, to make a new comic, the Budapest coup. So in 3 years' time, we can buy it. And I'm quite happy to contribute, you know.
Perfect. We would all buy it too. And hopefully there's some illustrators in the audience who could help you if you can't do that yourself, of course. Okay, I think we'll bring things to a close there because we're due in the old 10 minutes. Can I thank you again, Tomáš? Thanks are due to you. I'm so pleased you were able to make good on the interview that you conducted in 2007, which actually was conducted through about 4 languages. It was an amazing achievement. This is in part, again, what the festival wants and is all about, which is to see good made on inquiries that may have begun some time ago. So thanks for doing justice to this topic. I hope you see it through to its next stage. Can we thank again, please, Tomáš Mona and Ramón?
Thank you.
And Ramón. Ramón Puig. Ramón. Thank you.
Thank you for the
interview. Thank you.